everyone. So learning to code, right? It's all the rage this year. It's been a rage in my heart for a while, but now it seems to have sort of expanded. And as I was making this talk, I was thinking about the theme and the future and the importance of code literacy. And then I was sort of thinking, you know what? Maybe it's not about learning code. Maybe instead I should talk to you about being able to code from anywhere. So I decided instead to make a prototype about the Robo Code Leg, and you can code from your leg, and maybe even Lanyard can sponsor my leg, and you can look things up on it and see who's at conferences. Actually, I just fractured my tibia. It's really not that exciting. But just so you guys are aware of why I'm on crutches, that is why. So back to code, which is why I'm here. This is where I'm actually going to ask you to do some brain exercises, and this isn't always my favorite thing in the morning, so if you're like me, I apologize, I'm about to be a hypocrite. But I want you to take 30 seconds and close your eyes or don't, whatever your thing is when you like to think about things, and think about, if you could learn anything, what would it be? This can be absolutely anything that floats your boat. I've been asking a lot of people this question over the summer, and so in case you're a little stuck right now and nothing's coming to mind, here are some things that I've heard so far. It's absolutely amazing how many people want to make mayonnaise. I don't know, oil and eggs, it really gets people going, but I don't know, I guess it's a thing. So, has everyone thought of something? Okay, I hope so, because now I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them. You should all be talking right now. Okay, so if everyone begins to wrap up what they want to learn, apparently everyone wants to learn a lot of stuff, which is awesome. Here's hoping that whatever your answer was wasn't totally creepy when you told the stranger sitting next to you. Otherwise, good for you if it was. But so now, I want you to think about, why haven't you learned it yet? And this isn't to mock you or make you feel bad, there's a lot of things I haven't learned. And in bold are some of the popular answers that I've been getting. And trust me, everyone just looks and goes, laziness. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. You're not alone. It's, and time is another thing. And then one person from my survey who was taking my class was telling me that knowing where to start is one of the most daunting things when it comes to learning something new. Another person mentioned that they need someone in front of them to show them step by step on how to learn something if they haven't already known that knowledge. When asked sort of how to break this reason and learn something new, I think it was summed up best by my friend Sequoia, who said, I need someone to find a class, say it happens at this time, for this long, cost this much, and I'd be in. And so really that breaks down to a formula, right? Someone needs help to conquer the laziness, a resource providing a starting point, realistic prices and accurate times to factor into our already busy schedules, and excitement to counteract the fear of failing. So here's how this formula could work, and this is a little creepy because I'm now fictionally quoting myself in the third person here, but let's pretend that it's someone else or something. The point is that Girl Develop It classes are one of the things that I'm trying to do to fill in this formula of how to teach people code. And so Girl Develop It started in New York City, and it was started by Sarah Chips and Vanessa Hurst, and right now it's actually in cities all over the world. And the idea behind it is to set up a series of programming classes, starting from beginner to advanced, and geared towards women, providing a comfortable environment where people won't feel like women are the minority. And the idea is to try to eventually even out more of the gender numbers in the technology field. And the costs are all low cost and making it affordable for people. And when I heard about this, I totally wanted in. The opportunity to teach a beginner class is something that accumulates everything I've believed in for over the years since I started working with web standards. I wanted to share my knowledge like my coworkers and other people around me have before. I wanted to point beginners to the best places to learn HTML, to cover editing programs, to begin talking about what makes a page work, what can hurt it, offer tips and tricks for automating processes while generally working faster and smarter. Just what you expect for a course like this. If what I just said sounds familiar, it's because I'm totally paraphrasing from a resource. And this resource was Jeffrey Zeldman's site back in 1996. Yeah. I sent him these screenshots previous and being like, just so you know, I'm going to show these, but he was cool with it. So back in 1996, he already knew the importance of code literacy in education. He knew that getting more people on the web meant getting more great content out there. The more people with this knowledge and know-how, the more content we're all getting shared. Dr. Webb, which was the name of Jeffrey's column about this, redesigned a few times over the years, but the overall message stayed the same. And he wanted to get more people on the web to convey something worthwhile. And I think that he said it best in his 1999 version when he said, because it's not all about dancing baloney and flashing lights. It's about communication and sharing. This is our medium, perhaps the most open and democratic medium the world has yet known. It behooves us to use it well. And the internet does give us the power to have jazz hands baloney if we want to, right? Which is cool. And there's all kinds of content out there. And whether that's an online magazine about publishing, or an adorable cat with an underdeveloped jaw, or lemons having a party, you can get all the content that you really want on the internet whenever you want it. The barrier over the last few years to publishing has seriously been lifted.
You know what? Don't even worry about it. Everyone was so drunk that no one even remembers what you said.
I remember. I blogged the whole thing. www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts. Check it out.
Last year, Creed asked me how to set up a blog, wanting to protect the world from being exposed to Creed's brain. I open up a Word document on his computer and put an address at the top. I've read some of it. Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
So, I mean, it practically is just as easy as opening up a Word document these days, right? If you're sitting there at work and you're mocking your coworkers for watching the show or reading the book Game of Thrones, by 2 o'clock you can have a Tumblr up making fun of it that is just like The Hobbit, but with sex. I mean, it takes like 2 minutes to get something up and be a joke these days, right? Which is awesome, because it's really fun when you send a URL to someone of something they were just talking about. But, you know, this is what I do 40 hours a week, so I'm always setting up stuff like this. But what if you don't have that coding knowledge, or this isn't your full-time job? So recently, my sister and her boyfriend went on a U.S. cross-country road trip. And before they left, they set up a Tumblr, because they wanted to keep everyone informed of what they were doing. And so Tumblr's really great in that they have a lot of pre-designed themes ready for those of us who are not designers or just want to grab something ready to go. And there's some forms that make you able to customize it, like background images and colors, but Tumblr also lets you deeply customize everything, right? Like you can go into the CSS and HTML and change it if you want. They had decided on this theme, which was available from Pixel Union, and it looked like this. And in the top corner, you'll see the avatar has this border radius applied, which is giving it that circular image. So when my sister and Joe decided on their theme to use and they dropped in the picture they wanted to use the avatar, it looks like this. And so my sister has a jaw like Little Bub in this picture and you like can't see it. And she's like, I can't use this because you can't see my face. And so my sister thought her two choices were to either get a new picture, even though they really wanted to use this one, or change the theme entirely. And I was like, no, wait, don't do that. You can change this. All you need to do is change the border radius from 50 pixels to 20 pixels, and everyone was happy. So with just a little CSS, we won here and solved the problem. This is Jill, and besides being my mom, she also sells goods on Etsy and eBay. And with Etsy, you don't need any HTML knowledge, but eBay lets users customize their templates. So my mom's knowledge of HTML CSS came from a Dreamweaver class she took like 8 years ago. And taking that class has allowed her to customize her eBay templates and tailor it to meet the goods that she's selling. She also really enjoys coding as a hobby, so it's sort of a double win for her in this. This is my mom's boyfriend, John. Besides driving really cool vintage cars, John also teaches university-level math. For his classes, he made this website. This is John's website. It might not be everyone's favorite color scheme. You might have some, you know, design critiques, but he designed and coded it himself by looking at other people's source and also by reading books on HTML. It's got class info, pictures of his students, and it's even got some disjointed rollovers. So we've got some like really hot old fireworks type action happening here. But, you know, it gets the point across. It's got the content. But recently, he ran into a dilemma where this site wasn't cutting out for him anymore. And it's not because it wasn't, it's not the looks. But it actually might be a problem that sounds familiar to you guys. So you can imagine how surprised I was when he calls me up and says, "So, hey, how do I get a responsive website?" And I'm like, "Oh, we're never off duty, eh?" Or something, I'm sure, equally as clever as that. And it stuck with me. Even John, my mom's boyfriend, who teaches math, is looking for a mobile solution for his class's website. So John went ahead and he Googled mobile website creator, and that led him to this. And it's an automated service that's stripped down his nav, and it's, while it certainly might be an improvement for a mobile experience, this isn't something he wanted to use. He didn't want to use it because it comes with ads, and if you pay for it, you're paying for it, and you know people don't really love paying for things on the internet. So he was like, "I'd rather learn media queries and how to code it himself." And so, of course, he might end up bribing me with home-cooked meals to make this, but either way, you can see that my family, whose daily jobs have nothing to do with code, have found three very strong and different reasons on why learning some sort of code knowledge would have helped them in their everyday needs. And I've seen a lot of varied responses of why people would want to learn code and why they were interested in taking my class. Some people's interest even stemmed from back when they had a MySpace page and were adding glitter backgrounds and rainbows to it. And though everyone sort of was like, "Oh, MySpace is so ugly," it sort of sparked all this interest in people to be like, "Oh, you know, this is kind of neat what we can do with web pages." And it's not just outdated social network users that are still interested in learning code. The mayor of New York City recently decided that he had a desire to learn code, so there's at least some politicians out there that are starting to get on the nerd bandwagon, and so that's pretty awesome. And the mayor and more than 400,000 people have signed up for Code Year, which suggested as a New Year's resolution this past January that everyone should learn code. And I don't know whether everyone just collectively decided to get nerdy this year or people are just like, "Yes, a New Year's resolution that doesn't involve exercise. I am on board." And yeah, I'm with them. So this site's run by Code Academy. And Code Academy hosts the lessons and sends out weekly lesson plans to everyone who signed up. But they're not alone here. There are a plethora of sites like this out there right now. Code School, Google Code University, Free Technology Academy, Lynda Online Training, Opera Education, Academic Earth, Mozilla's peer-powered School of Webcraft, which makes me think of Wizard, so I might go for this one, Treehouse. And you can see that I could probably spend a full 30 minutes right now going through all the sites that are out there, but you know, you get the point. There's definitely a lot of choices out there for people to start learning code. And a lot of people think that sites like these are great. But let's not forget, this is the internet, so a lot of people do not think these sites are great. Sorry. Doing a search of Google right now for the term learn HTML leads to some super polarizing results. So Code Academy, which we looked at, is number one, but then you have two super harrowing results up there at the top of the page. One includes a Forbes article calling learning to code a waste of time. And the other comes from Jeff Atwood's very clever blog, in which he takes a comical yet very cynical look at what he is calling the "everyone should learn programming" meme. So there are definitely some different opinions on the matter. And to be fair, there's a lot of good points on both sides. And I agree and disagree with a lot of the things that people are saying out there. For my Girl Develop It class and for learning, I wanted to try to find a good middle point. I wanted to celebrate the pros of people learning to code and also combat the negatives that are out there. And the first thing I think in order for us to be able to do this is to set realistic expectations. We all know that if it's too good to be true, it probably is, right? So if someone tells you you can read the classics in 1 minute, it's pretty funny, but probably you probably don't want to take this to your high school class. And you know, if someone says you can learn Perl in 2 hours, you might want to be a bit skeptical. These taglines on sites that tell you that you're going to learn how to code might want to add some not-so-fine prints that state what people will actually learn from participating in it. It's okay to be honest. For Girl Development classes, I let everyone know that you're not going to learn everything. It's an HTML and CSS intro classes. We have 8 hours together. It's 4 2-hour classes to cover something that I probably studied for 2 years in college. I do let them know, though, that they are going to learn very basic skills. We'll make a totally simple website, and they're going to learn the correct terminology. Also, after my class, if they're still interested in learning more, they're going to know where to go next. And to do that, we really have to identify trustworthy resources. When I first started this class, I switched up some of the base curriculum because they still had table layout as being covered. And I teach valid markup in my class. I teach to avoid tag soup, even if it's valid, just because, you know, as mentioned before, clean source code, some of us think is an art. So it's just nice to have things look neat so you can find what you're looking for. And that's just something that my students understand and we get into, but not everyone's aware of standards, right? And so what happens if you're starting on your own? I ran through that scenario with my boyfriend Sutter, who's a graphic designer, and I asked him, where would you start if you were learning how to learn code from scratch? And so he chose to Google the terms learn HTML, and it provided these results. Now, Sutter tells me he doesn't believe in clicking on the first result ever, so he goes to the second result for HTML.net, which gets you this. This was Sutter's reaction. He stuck with it for a bit, though, and a few more clicks, he could find what he was looking for in an HTML tutorial. And then he started reading the copy on the page. Most likely, you already have everything you need. You have a quote-unquote browser. A browser is the program that makes it possible to browse and open websites. Right now, you are looking at this page in your browser. And that's when he bailed, right? Because who wants to be talked to like you're an idiot? And so sometimes it's a really fine line on whether or not you can trust a website. In this case, this one laid it on pretty thick. So he went back to the results and ended up clicking on the first result, which got him to W3 Schools. Now, W3 Schools certainly looks a bit more legit than HTML.net, but it turns out a lot of people would disagree. W3 Fools was launched in order to point out all the mistakes that W3 Schools was making on their site. It also has a plea to Wikify their content so that other people can update it to be more accurate information. And so this is important because W3 Schools comes up as the top query for a lot of things, things like learn JavaScript, learn HTML. You're going to end up at that site a lot. So if you're starting out from the beginner and you don't know that, you're going to want to find a more, or either know that there could be some mistakes involved, or try to find a more reliable resource. W3 Fools does list a lot of resources that deem trustworthy. But what happens once you do find that trustworthy resource, right? So let's say you find one of those newer social media-based, learning programs that the mayor's hip to. Some people haven't found that these are the answers either. Audrey Waters wrote this in her blog about her personal experience using one of these code education sites, and she was a very unhappy camper. The issue with learning how to create shapes with Canvas like circles or how to pop up a JavaScript alert is that people don't know when you're actually going to use those things, right? And, you know, or maybe they just don't like badges. But what they really need is to focus on real use cases for the things that we're learning. A lot of these sites use information-based learning, which ends up having the lessons act as a tool seeking a problem as opposed to a problem seeking a tool. And so on the other hand, problem-based learning is great because it provides an environment where the problem is driving the solution. So if you pose the problem before the learning begins, this tends to motivate students. It also creates memory patterns for future problem solving. In my class, the problem I introduce when we first start is the idea of creating a personal portfolio or resume site. And so what's nice about this, as opposed to a fictional company site that maybe you're making or some shapes, is that because it's personal, people have an added motivation for why they want to see this project through and why they want to get it up on the web. The other thing that's nice is because it's a personal portfolio, the content for this is probably already created, right? A lot of people taking my classes already have resumes or a social media presence. So as opposed to giving you a blank web page, you're like, okay, I know I want to have my name, my address, my Twitter links, etc. So it gives someone a good starting point on what content they want. Jesenia Perez-Cruz is a designer at HappyCog who took my class because she wanted to know more about how her designs were being built. And we gave her the resume portfolio problem at the beginning, and she started in week one, and by week four, she had launched a site where previously she didn't have a personal site before. We also have to remember that a lot of people that are learning how to code are doing so after their already full work week, right? So adding some excitement and some cat pictures to the classes is something I find keeps people awake and not so much hating that they're doing more work after their already work-filled day. You know, sometimes it helps to describe ice cream bowls as divs and the toppings like strawberry and chocolate as classes as opposed to reading from the W3C spec, right? A little more interesting. And you mentioned food, and people sort of are like, oh, now I understand. And I'm like, yes. And, you know, a lot of people do maybe prefer the Google Code University look where you just get, you know, straight to the information. But fun is something that's been a really important factor, I think, for some people learning. And, you know, this tweet came out right before the announcement of Khan Academy's new computer science curriculum, which is awesome. And let's take a quick look at their video, and you can hear the excitement that they're offering.
Welcome. I'm super excited that you're here to learn about computer science. It's my favorite thing in the world, except for pie. But before we get started, the first thing you need to pound into your head is this. You are smarter than a computer. I know it's hard to believe because computers can do all these amazing magical things that seem really, really complicated, but they can only do those things because some person told them exactly what to do step by step. Behind every program, every video game, every website, there's some dude sitting in a chair, plunking away on his or her keyboard. And now, you are that dude.
So, I love her because I think she talks faster than me, and I'm like, yes. But, you know, she's excited, and that's good. And even if this is geared toward a younger audience, I don't think talking about pie is going to hurt anyone. So I think pie's good for all ages and excitement. The other thing that's really nice about this video is it starts to give the user confidence. And confidence is another key in succeeding when you're learning something new. We have to take away this notion of being scared to fail. At the beginning of girl development classes, when we're first starting, I have everyone get up and go around the room and tell them, you know, who you are and why you're taking the class. And what this ends up doing is people feel not alone because a lot of the reasons people are taking the class are the same. And so everyone sort of feels like they're in it together. And that information and being together sets people up to both learn from me, talk with the TAs, do the exercises in class, and learn from each other and teach each other, which is really important because people learn in all these different ways and remember things in different ways. And so we try to cover the reading, the hearing, the seeing, and the doing in the class. There's some groups out there that are really focusing on the doing in this and providing full immersive educational experiences. Block.io is an online-based 12-week learning web development class. And they provide you with a dedicated mentor that you Skype with one-on-one so you can be from anywhere. Another one is Dev Bootcamp, and they're a 10-week on-site in San Francisco group that's doing Ruby on Rails classes, and they describe themselves as an apprenticeship on steroids. So what's nice about these two groups is that they're providing alternatives to traditional college education. So for people that just want to get right into it, you know, it's a different option for people out there. They've recently, I think they're about to start their third course of this, and in their first one, 14 out of their 17 students were offered jobs starting at $79,000 a year. But not everyone has the desire to go through this, right? I mean, this is an intense experience, and not everyone has the time either. So what exactly is it about time these days, right? Like, I feel I'm hearing stuff about time everywhere. There was that New York Times article about how we're all too busy, and everyone got all up in rage and riled and talking about how we're going to spend our time. And so I recently decided to spend my time watching this sci-fi movie. And in this movie, time was now currency. And so people were working for minutes and hours, and they were going to the casino and gambling away time, and their time was kept in this weird digital thing implanted in their arms. Oh, and another plot point is everyone stopped aging at 25. So of course everyone was super beautiful. Speaking of that, this was a Justin Timberlake movie. Spoiler alert, it was not very good. But, you know, it had an interesting premise and an interesting point, right? The way that how we spend our time has been consuming us lately and what we're doing with it. And time can also tie directly into this fear of failing, right? If we're going to take our hard-earned time and spend it learning something new, if we end up not succeeding in whatever we learned, then not only are you scared of feeling like you failed in learning something, but you also, you know, quote-unquote, wasted your time, which no one likes to do. When I was first planning this, I was sitting at the beach back beginning of summer, and I was talking again to Sutter, and I asked him the question, if you could learn anything, what would you learn? And Sutter goes, French. And I was like, whoa, my answer is French. And we're like, why don't we take a class together? And what's nice is if we take a class together, if we ended up not doing anything with our French lessons, I mean, we probably would have spent the hours that we were doing that watching Justin Timberlake movies, much to his chagrin, but, you know, so we might as well be learning something together. And keynote. When you do something like that, it doesn't so much feel like a sacrifice anymore, right? If you're giving a secondary reason to take a class, then there's less chances of failure. So a lot of the women in my class ended up making a lot of friendships that I don't know if they're coding together or doing what, but a lot of people, there was other reasons to take the class rather than just learning code. And doing things with other people will make you more likely to succeed. Sites like Skillshare are really awesome because you can search for classes locally and sign up to take them. The other thing that they provide is you can offer to teach classes as well and spread your education. Does everyone have their rubber band? You're going to need them. So both learning and teaching feel really great. You sort of get this giddy feeling inside you, right? When you learn, it just sort of like, you're like, yes, I feel smarter, and smarter is awesome. So just in case in the last 29 minutes or so that we've spent together, you feel like maybe you could use to learn one more thing, we're going to have a Neil Diamond lookalike show us a little bit of a party trick. Here it goes.
Trouble bands. Let me demonstrate this effect, this yellow rubber band. And you'll see it jump from these fingers to those, right under your nose. Now for the secret of the jumping rubber band, which was invented by a very great English magician named Stanley Collins, way back around 1914. Here's the technique. Rubber band around the first two fingers, first and second fingers. Stretch the entire band. Put the four fingers in, have the band go the tops of the very tops of the fingers, show the band that way, flex your fingers open and closed, and the band jumps. And that's the secret of the jumping rubber band.
Yeah. So that's awesome, right? You get that sort of feeling inside you, like, yes, now I know more about rubber bands. So, you know, yesterday I was running a tech check here, and just to make sure that you could hear this man telling you about this, and Seb goes, I know that trick from when I was a kid. And I was like, well, then why aren't you up here instead of this guy? But, you know, Seb shares his knowledge, and I think it's so neat that right now you can look up all these magicians online showing you tricks and so many things. There's so many ways for us to be out there right now sharing all our knowledge. You know, you don't need to be a teacher at a university. You can share what you know and learn things on the internet, and that's so freaking cool. So I hope you go forth and share the rubber band trick or anything else that you feel like you want to share with everybody, because it's awesome to do that. Thanks.